You the one doing it.
Georgia Football Classic Atlanta, the HBCU dynamic duo with the Mississippi Valley State University football team and band versus the Florida A&M University football team and band. Saturday, October 4th, 4 p.m. at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
You had to start the daggone show like that.
That's petty as hell.
What?
I like it.
Can I cuss out my Cowboys for that stinking tie?
You should be thanking them.
Everybody needs to get cussed out about that. Everybody needs to be cussed out about that.
Hey, at least look, you know what's on this play?
It's 2025. Sunday,
James Houston with the strip sack. And Marquise Bell with the two point return conversion.
Hey, that was great. But you know, the Cowboys 8-8. That's what you're gonna get. I feel your pain. Y'all got Super Bowls. I'm a lifelong fan of a team that ain't never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Dolphins fan.
Me too. But we would have went had they not called old boy down. He was not down when we played the Patriots in conference championship. But I'm gonna leave that alone. I'll crash out another day.
Yeah, hey man, come on now. All we had to do is run the ball. What the hell were we passing for? The biggest show in Super Bowl history.
Oh, the fool. That's a shame.
So you've gone to fatmousesports.net. We are transitioning to a larger server, and I won't name the server company, but they're not moving as fast as I would like, so bear with us. I start off the show as bad guy. I'm going to go ahead and continue in my villain arc. The same people that put on the Tampa Bay Football Classic are the same people that are involved or were involved in the Georgia Football Classic. And I'm trying to be judicious, but I can't. I cannot. It's no way. Absolutely no way, Mike. I'm not finna crash out yet. We got plenty of time for that. In no way should anybody blame the institutions. The institutions are involved, but only to a degree of Valley should probably pull out of this thing in July. When Bethune and Southern pulled out, that's probably.
But didn't they pull out in July the first time?
No. Well, as a matter of fact, there was not even a contract signed by FAMU at that time. So
that man bit his eyebrow too. Damn.
So it's bad business. And the swag, we suffer from bad business. I beat that dead horse, not because I want to. I see potential, and it's just bad. And Kelvin, you talked about it on your show last night. You have a greater insight than I do. I'm just angry because this was a missed opportunity for Valley and for FAMU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is bad business. It's unacceptable. It's all those things. And the buck of the blade does have to go with the third party. However, the institutions, both NFL stadiums, they all vetted the same group and they all went forward with it. Also, I have to look at things fair. I do have to look at things fairly. And when things are getting hung up in contract signing, so you can't move forward anything. Tickets weren't available for the Valley game until September 2nd because contracts weren't signed. And then there's some other politics stuff behind the scene in the Atlanta market dealing with people who are with the Mid Swat Challenge and the Celebration Bowl. It's more to it than I think people were trying to do things in good faith and make it successful, but this is business and it is unacceptable. How in the world do you have a Division One game and a week of the game you got to try to find venues? That only happens in HBCU athletics. You would never see that anywhere else. And so I'm with you on the outrage. I just dispersed that outrage to everybody involved. Yeah.
I'm going to say, well, I always say this. Why do we need to have a damn middleman when it comes to doing our own classics? Like, and that's the reason why a lot of folks say we need to do away with classics. Like, we need to do away with
our upfront money and costs, right?
Like, yeah, but at the same time, we could, if we negotiate with the other school, we could put on a classic.
No, we can't.
We can't.
No. Let me say why I say that though. All right. This is not opinion. So ESPN Events puts on, I think, like 38 of the 40 or whatever bowl games that happen.
Right.
Even with FAMU and Bethune, the Florida Citrus Sports manages that whole event. That is a third party. Same thing with Alabama State, Alabama A&M. There's a third party that handles those events. Universities, our universities do not have the expertise, both in the legal as well as a person assigned for large events to manage those kind of events. And we don't, frankly, have the capital either. We have the product. We have the capacity to do some of that stuff, but we don't have the vision. It's hard to get everybody in a line to do what's best for particularly athletics because there's a lack of commitment. And how you know it's a lack of commitment? Because all of our athletic budgets are in the bottom of FCS, every HBCU. If it's 25 teams at the bottom, 20 of them is us. So that's why I say that. We do not have the expertise. If we did have the expertise to do it, we would have done it. And then I also, the other distinction I would make, there's a difference between traditional classics, what we probably consider classics, where we play our true rivals.
Mm-hmm.
And historically, it's been at a neutral site, you know, the State Fair Classic, the Florida Classic, the Bayou Classic, the Turkey Day Classic, those kind of things. Those are separate and different from neutral site games. I don't know if y'all looked at the things that have been going on, but the Detroit Classic at 1,700 people in Ford Field, the Circle City Classic in Indianapolis, another pro stadium, had around 3,700, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, a little bit over 3,000.
So the what matters in those neutral site games with non-traditional foes and large travel times, matchups matter, number one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just put anybody in those stadiums and expect that population going to want to see it because that's not the reality. Two, it's so expensive with those pro stadiums that if you don't have the teams and the stadiums a part of it, along with those city commissions and those sports authorities, it's extremely hard to be successful. So the one thing, real quick, the one thing I don't understand is how you can get this far down the road, though, a week before a game, and then nothing. What is in the contract?
We don't know. So somebody just asked who's promoting the Grambling Jackson State game in Vegas. So it's Visit Las Vegas, and the Las Vegas Raiders are promoting that game. They have put up the capital for the game for advertisement, of course, the stadium, so we don't have to pay to rent the stadium out. It's big. It's given to us for free. That's one thing that Dr. McClellan had kind of negotiated as far as with this classic, because they want more teams to come out west to, like, Vegas, to, like, even get a classic at L.A. at SoFi, you know what I'm saying, to kind of just push our not just saying our fan base, but to our history, our mystique to the West Coast, because there nobody on the West Coast knows, unless they went to HBCU and they moved out west. A lot of folks don't know about HBCUs until
not necessarily true, but family used to send the whole 100 to California and get kids from California to come to family.
But yeah, but at the same time, when you think about it, when you're talking about the older people that live in California that don't too much know, they all, only thing they do know but is California. That's what you get. But at the same time, that game has been promoted. It's been promoted efficiently because they're doing it on social media. They're doing it with commercials on HBCU Go, because that's who's going to show the game. It's, you know, so just basically social media commercials, word of mouth, everybody knows about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they when did they announce the game, Troy? Was it early in February or March, something like that? Is around that time?
It was probably the end of January, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. So you had from either late January or early February, and the game is going to be in the next month. So you got all that time in between to go ahead and start promoting. Make sure the ticket sales come out there. Make sure that they have planned events for it. That's what's the difference between what we see with this Vegas Classic and what should have been done with this Georgia Football Classic right here. What should have been done with this Tampa Football Classic that was supposed to be for next month. And the same thing, like you said, with, like, Bike Classic, State Fair. Since I live in Dallas, I go to the State Fair Classic all the time. All the other stuff, I don't care about. I don't care about all that other stuff. I want to watch a football game. You know what I'm saying? I want to see the bands. I want to watch a football game. The after party and stuff, y'all can have that. I did that shit when I was we did it in our 20s. But at the same time, it's promoted, like, it's promoted well enough, but it's so promoted because it's word of mouth. You know what I'm saying? Because we got a lot of, there's a big alumni base in Dallas for Grambling and Prairie View. So everybody knows when the fair comes around, when it starts, you know that next day is when that first game is. Now, the only thing about it is I wish they would promote it a little bit more earlier in the year, like they're doing with this Vegas Classic, instead of waiting till August, September. Mm-hmm. So by that time, it's like, yeah, you know, but, you know, it's almost too late. But if you promote it from early on, you'll probably get about 70, 80,000 folks up in there. Mm-hmm. And for us to have... In the game, for the game to have 61,000, that was still good until we know the Magic City Class come around and they just try to blow everybody out.
So, Emmett, to be honest with you, part of the people involved, I thought, were kind of not allowed to do business with HBCUs as, but I was wrong. HBCU businesses, but I think we need to put a face and understand exactly what was happening up until 2 days ago. So this was a morning show in Atlanta last week.
We all get excited when we talk about football around here, and there are a lot of football games happening in and around Atlanta. But next weekend, this is where your focus should be, the Florida A&M and Mississippi Valley State game. Today we have two board members of the 100 Black Men of DeKalb County, Von Irons and Thomas Dean. Gentlemen, it's great to have you both with us.
Well, thanks so much, Brooks. Thanks
glad
for
to
having
be
us.
Here. Glad yeah, to
glad,
be here.
Glad to have you all, because you all are part of putting together this Georgia Football Classic weekend. It's a full-blown weekend of events, but it's important to note that this game and this weekend experience is something that's very important to HBCUs.
Well, absolutely. Part of what we're trying to do here is to take the work of the 100 Black Men and reaching young men and young ladies in our community.
In my lifetime, every time there was an event that the 100 Black Men became a part of, it was an issue. And it's not the 100 Black Men as a whole. I want to make sure we keep that clear. It's not 100 Black Men as a whole.
Just the ones in Atlanta. Just the ones in Atlanta.
So this has been an issue. I remember when I was young, dumb, and ignorant, and, oh, man, these games in Atlanta, this is going to be amazing. Not knowing the financial repercussion of it, when you're younger, you think that's the greatest thing since sliced cheese. When you start to find out the numbers and what was being done and what wasn't being done, they have become the villain. Whether by fault of their own, by accident, I don't know. But they have become the villain when it comes to these events that they slap their names on. And at some point, somebody got to take accountability and say, hey, if we're going to do this, we got to do X, Y, and Z to make sure our name is clean, our brand is clean. Because you do good work. But when your name is associated with janky promotions, it hurts your brand. So again, this whole fiasco was, we saw it coming. And I think behind the scenes, we thought they had got it together because contracts were signed. And I had assumed money had changed hands and we was all set. And maybe it was the ticket sales. I don't know what the problem was, but it did not happen. So I don't know.
You're right. It's Jenga promoters. I think that's the reason why. Then when y'all had y'all classic, it was FAMU Tennessee State, right? It was the Atlanta Football Classic, right? Didn't the 100 Black Men
Tennessee State, Atlanta, and we played Southern like two or three years before we left.
Right, but in the same group, the 100 Black Men of Atlanta took over the. Didn't they take over the game?
I think
it was their game.
It was their game, and they invited us to Tennessee State.
Okay, so why are we not playing? Why we don't play that game anymore?
Because of the money split, and what they were paying, and I forgot who was our AD at the time, but the AD pretty much said, "Hey, you." What you paying me and what we spending out of pocket, it ain't matching, bro.
So in other words, it's the same thing that Deion said about the Southern Heritage class.
Yeah. FAMU asked for more money. The 100 Black Men pretty much said, we good without y'all. FAMU said, bet. And the game did not last maybe one, two more seasons and it was gone. Because they couldn't feel the dome the way they were feeling it with us in Tennessee State.
Yeah, thanks. And
I think what a lot of people don't realize is there is a micro economy around these games. The Celebration Bowl, the Classic, the Orange Blossom Classic. There are vendors in and around those venues who are making money off of these events. If you actualize that revenue, you have a very different outcome. There is more money in the pot. However,
our affinity for our people, we kind of let the people on the sideline sell the merch without it being trademark merch. Mm-hmm. Allow them to eat off of the brand without actually buying into the brand. Preach. That has always been my issue.
Yep.
Preach.
So, I mean, when you think about it, like, that Southern Heritage class when we was in, and like I said, when Dion and they looked at the numbers and like, shoot, we paying for the football team to come up there. We got to put extra money to pay for the band to come up there. Even though y'all giving us this payout, it's your classic. Why are you not accommodating both schools to send, you know what I'm saying, to pay for the football team, the band, cheerleaders, and bring them in, house them in a hotel and stuff like that? Why we got to come? You give us the money, but that money that you give us, we still got to come out of pocket to transport.
And then you want all of those said entities in that city for 3 to 4 days.
Right.
So it's not like they get the football team gets to come in on Thursday late, relax, practice Friday, mm-hmm. and game on Saturday. No, you want them there Thursday so they can do luncheon. Media, you want the cheerleaders there, you want the presidents there, you want everybody that encapsulate those schools there, but you kind of sort of covering housing for maybe the football team. Come on. They still got to eat 3 days, three times a day, plus snack the 4 days they there.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Y'all familiar with the movie Scarface?
Oh, yeah.
You remember that scene where he say hello to the bad guy?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, the bad guy finna come out now. We like to complain and put the fault at everybody else. But when we were playing in those classics, nobody forced us to.
No.
You talking about the janking promoters? No, it's the janking leadership at our institutions.
Yeah.
Put it where it's supposed to be now.
Put it where it's supposed to be now.
I would tell you that it ain't always the promoters, by the way, because I remember a classic in Tampa that was done by FAMU. Now, of course, there was a storm around it, but it was a hot mess, and Tennessee State, as well as the venue, which was the Buck Stadium, they might have got paid a year or two later. I remember a classic in Mobile against Tuskegee. It wasn't a third party. And the same scenario. So when we say it's easy, it's not easy. Large events are not easy. I'll stop lying to people. Number two.
No.
Number two. The reason I'm not giving grace to the promoters, because ultimately they're the ones that brought the deal, but I just don't understand how we can ignore. You got to remember, whatever contracts were signed was signed by an AD, went through the University League of Council, and was signed off by a president. Same thing with these venues. I tell you what, Doc, you try to go rent Mercedes-Benz Stadium, see what they tell you.
They laugh my ass off. Boy, get your ass off.
So it's a little bit more than just what we're saying. That's all I'm pointing out. I know Troy thought I was, you know, trying to be even a new, but I'm just showing the nuance that it's a little bit more to it and a little more complicated. You know, and for me, instead of being a blame game, I like to look at problems and have solutions. So one of the solutions that I kind of thought about, and Doc kind of hit it a little bit, outside of our traditional rivalry classics or neutral site games, I think the SWAC conference got to be a little bit more involved and set a standard for these games. Number one, And the schools got to be okay with that as SWAC members. Because they can help these games a lot. Remember, the SWAC office conference has TV contracts already.
Mm-hmm.
They have sponsors already. And it hurts. This is a conference game. It hurts the SWAC when its institutions suffer like this. So maybe they need to be a little bit involved and try to help and make sure these things happen. And that's my point. That's my point, Troy. We got to be better partners, I think.
But you know what, though, Kim? A lot of people say, why the SWAC always got to get involved with certain things? To me, I'm looking at it because as member institutions, we're the product. That was just like saying
it's also about brand protection. Like you not want your brand in some dumb shit all the time. Like, come on,
right.
And when you think about it, it's like, remember a couple of years ago, Commissioner McClellan was talking about doing a SWAC football classic in Birmingham. He like, look, you got to hook up on Legion Field. You're getting it for free. You know, they're gonna hook the teams up to go. To be at the, pay for the hotels and stuff like that. They were going to fund the money. And a lot of people was like, we're not going to go there because they no fan base. It's not about the fan base. It's about expanding our brand into a territory that is maybe, because you're in Birmingham, is that SIAC country. You expanded to the side country. You still got A&M and you got Alabama State. They gonna be in Birmingham anyway for the Magic City Classic. That ain't never gonna change right there. But it was just something that people, had Jackson State and Southern play in Birmingham and get the money. You split the money, and guess what? It's going to both schools.
You ain't had to pay for nothing. I don't think we would even be talking about this had this game been canceled 4 weeks ago at the beginning of the season.
Right.
When they knew they didn't have the venue. I think the biggest problem is people have already made travel arrangements. People have already spent money that they can't get back. People have already booked hotels and probably booked venues expecting the crowd for the after the game festivities. Now you at the 12th hour you cancel the game. It's making the institutions look like they had something to do with the cancellation of the game. I mean, they could have just seen if they could have found another stadium, say Georgia Tech, they don't have a game. It could have been efforts made to secure something. It's plenty of places in Atlanta that they could play.
They could have played
at Georgia State.
Those options were on the table. Ultimately, Valley made a decision. I guess they got burnt already, so they made a decision to go back.
But they could. they're changing the classic to be played in Mississippi during Thanksgiving.
How many people gonna be there?
That's terrible. That's absolutely terrible.
How very many?
They could have changed it from them being a home game and playing at Bragg.
To
move it to the week of Thanksgiving is crazy. It's absolutely crazy.
Well, there's a big game in Tallahassee this week across the tracks, so they probably would have to stay out of town. It's a lot of jigs at this point, and who's going to pay for those changes? But you're right. I 100% agree with you now. But
everything in town is booked. All the rooms get going all the way up to Albany are booked, and typically in Florida State team stays in Thomasville on home games. There are no rooms here.
Yeah.
Camping grounds are booked up. There is nothing within probably an hour and a half of this city right now.
It might be one RV parking spot.
Right, it might be one. And when we say one, I mean one.
And that one probably going to cost you 25,000 in donations and whatever the parking fee is for that game.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it was going to, so this is the way this is going to be now, that the game done got pushed back all the way to damn near Thanksgiving weekend. Because this is the second time y'all done got pushed back, because, but that was because of a hurricane. Mm-hmm. that was it. That was something that y'all couldn't control.
I mean, this is something that hurricane, so hey.
Right, you couldn't control that. This is something that it could have been controlled from the jump. Like you said, if FAMU didn't sign that contract, or even if Valley didn't sign that contract, it could have been prevented. All you got to say, look, let's just move the game back to Itabena on the 4th. You know what I'm saying? Try to find, you know, find hotels. Because if you're going to come in for the, okay, so you're coming in that weekend, from Jackson to Itabena ain't nothing but an hour and a half. You could have stayed at hotels in Jackson. We not going to be in there. We going to be in Mobile this weekend. I mean, you go find something in Greenwood. Greenville is like 30 minutes down the road. I mean, unless you want to drive to Memphis. Memphis is like
keep it a buck with you. There are very few people that have spent the travel to Itabena, Mississippi, to go watch a game.
Or, hey, how about this? How about this?
I got some.
How about this? I think this is 2021. Valley and Southern play a game at the Vet on a Sunday, the day after we had played, Jackson State had played, I forgot who we had played that day, on Saturday. We're not going to be in the Vet for that weekend. Y'all, they could have moved the game to the Vet.
That would have been better than
That would have been better than going up to the Valley. I ain't even finna hold you.
For real. I mean, you have, you know, book the hotel rooms and stuff like that. Look, we ain't gonna price gouge or nobody, but at the same time, move the game. You could move the game to Jackson. It has been done. I mean, trust me, it's been done before. And then you don't even have to play on that Saturday. You can come play on Sunday. Make it a Sunday game. Just so you can accommodate the folks that are traveling in from Tallahassee, just from Florida, period, to watch, you know what I'm saying, to go see this game right here.
Honestly, I think that's the only game FAMU fans really don't go to. And honestly, once we finally have to go to Alcorn, that'll be a testament too. But it's hard to get in and out of there, because I was like, I'll go, and then I said, yeah, I'm not going.
Oh yeah, it's one way in, one way out, unless they decide to open up the back way.
See,
but the game day experience at the reservation is second to none.
I believe that it's just the logistics, and don't I'm from a small town, right? Like mm-hmm. We literally have to go 45 minutes to an hour for everything, including the hospital. I'm not going up there. That's like from I'm not going up.
That's how it is at Alcorn. Like you know, you so isolated that they got their own gas station on campus.
I love that for them, though. I ain't even going to hold you.
Hey, let me just make one more point, Troy, please, real quick, on Nutrisite Games. And I kind of mentioned it yesterday. So we talk about the guarantee and what we should be getting. Well, all I can go by is what the industry standard typically is. And so I made the point that ESPN events and all these bowl games and a lot of the FBS neutral site games, when you talk about guarantees and what they're getting, part of what's in their contract is they have to sell 1.5 million worth of tickets They either sell it or they eat it. And that's part of their guarantee, along with some TV money and some other monies involved. So when we do make the decision, and this is, again, learning how to be partners and build up an event versus place blame when you ain't got no skin in the game. Mm-hmm. I suggest that if we're going to do neutral site games, and I'm talking about HBCUs, outside of our traditional classics, if we're going to do it, then we have to understand the business of doing it, and we have to learn how to be a good partner to push these things. There's no free money out there. If you think you're going to sign a contract, get $500,000, all you're going to do is show up, and that game going to be successful, then you get what we got.
Mm-hmm.
We got to change our mindset. I'm done.
MEAC Mike said all the MEAC schools are adjacent to international airports. Well, for certain schools in the SWAC, that is true, and then that is not true. So you go to Texas, Prairie View and Texas Southern, you could go to George W. Bush, or you go to Hobby. You go to Jackson, Mega Evans right there. In fact, Jackson Valley and Alcorn is within an hour and a half, like an hour 45 minute range from that airport. You can use that. Grambling and Southern can go to New Orleans, Lakefront. Grambling has to go to Shreveport, or they can go to Dallas, or they can go to Jackson. You know what I'm saying? I don't know too much about Pine Bluff. I don't know about the airport at Little Rock, but the closest airport for them is in Memphis. Of course, y'all say Tallahassee, it's a small, but you'd rather fly into Jacksonville.
You can fly into Jacksonville or Panama City.
Yeah, and that's a two-hour drive right there.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not try to dog us out by having international airports and stuff like that. But my whole thing is, we have ways to get where we need to go, you know, in the SWAC. You know what I'm saying? Like, for three Mississippi schools, like I said, we ain't nobody between an hour, hour and a half away from each other. We ain't got to fly. Get your ass on that bus.
Right. I mean, that was also what was advantageous on paper for us coming to the SWAC, because Marlo will tell you, he told us what, a week ago, he had an 18-hour bus ride when he had to go to Norfolk.
I've had 24-hour bus rides going to damn Delaware.
That's
what we got. Exactly. And then, like, you have to go. Everybody has to go to Delaware at some point during the season at least once.
That shit is crazy. Like, this was during track season. You got a bus full of track people on the bus for 20 something hours, and now we got to get up and perform in conference.
Yeah. After ain't being too on much bus. Time to stretch or anything like that, you got to go out.
That's crazy.
It would take you a day and a half to just unwind from a 24-hour bus ride.
Hold on, Marlo. Did you have a good time here in Dallas?
I did, brother. I enjoyed myself.
Did you go to the game?
I didn't get to the game.
Oh, man.
I had the little ones with me, so they was tagging along, and they wasn't about the game. I didn't even get to the fair.
Wow.
How you missed the fair with the little ones?
Oh, my gosh. First, we did the whole sightseeing thing first, and then they was tired. They said they tired, boss. So
was it them or was it you now?
Oh, you I was ready to go.
He ready to go. I told him everything about the fair, man, about the state fair.
I was ready to go.
Okay.
Man, I was mad about that guy. I seen it
from the highway. I was like, oh shit, the fair right over there. All we have to do is turn.
I'm sorry, Marlo was enjoying Dallas. I was crying and bragging. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be right back. We're gonna get back into some other stuff.
I was at my class.
My hand did not survive homecoming.
All right, I got you another one.
It was nice when I put it on, then the liquor started flowing.
Damn.
You're drinking that, you were drinking that vodka. That's what it was.
Yeah, that bottle was opened at 12 and gone at 12:15.
Yeah.
Hey. It wasn't only me. It was not only me.
It sounded like it was only you.
No. Listen, no.
We don't judge.
My brother helped me.
Damn. So it was two of y'all.
Three. It was three. My sister too. It was three of us.
It was gone in 15 minutes?
I swear we opened it. I looked at my watch. It said 12:15. I looked at the bottle and I looked at them and said, well, damn, everybody had a Yeti cup full. I said, well, that's it. I ordered another one.
Dr. Kanisha said you need to hydrate. Again, I just want to reaffirm. Hydration does not necessarily mean water. As long as you hydrate, you should be good. Lawrence, I do not want to talk about nobody playing leak in California. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm gonna stay far, far away from that. I'm gonna take a brief moment.
I'm trying to figure out why we still playing these side chicks over here.
I can't believe.
Didn't they warn us about these damn side chicks for real?
They did.
Like, yeah, the views are. Yeah, I'm just saying. Look. Let's stop playing these side chicks. Let's stop giving these side chicks the money. Let's go play our main chicks on the schedule.
We the only podcast that have to put up disclaimers because we get out of control.
No, we don't.
HBC Nightly always have a disclaimer every night between America and Banks. Because they don't know how to act.
Damn.
So, just so everybody's aware, there was a football game in Bragg.
Was it?
Yeah, there was a football game in Bragg. I want to thank Kelvin for such a hospitable tailgate. It was too hot.
What you had on that tailgate, man?
What we didn't have, we'll see. sausage, chicken fried, chicken grilled, green beans, hot boiled peanuts, pound cake, a pulled pork. It was a spread now, and any kind of beverage of your choice.
We had our mega class reunion this weekend because our high school is technically closed. And every time I looked at the score, if I didn't like it, I just yelled shot chick.
Damn.
And we went from there.
All I know is, man, I was watching the game here, getting ready to go to South Dallas and getting in the Uber. And I'm like, ooh, damn. Like, hey, man, I said that Bama State was going to win, but I didn't know they were going to win by that much, though.
Well, no, I'll be honest. I did not expect us to stick with the same quarterback the entire game.
I knew. I was like, at some point, Jet Petty is going to touch that field before this fourth quarter, and we're going to be all
right. Right.
We might still lose, but it ain't going to be this.
It ain't gonna be that, right? Had you told me that was gonna happen, then I might have not went in the game. I might have stayed at the tailgate because I would tell you when they went up 28-6 and RJ came back out, I went to my tailgate. I didn't see anything after that.
He said, I'm done.
I think we're entering into a territory to where our head coach has hung his hat on a certain player and he is not getting the return of his investment.
And that's when you say, I like my job. I like being called head coach.
He do not know how to pull up. Like you,
and
you have to, protect.
What's the thing you always say, Marlo?
You gotta show me some fight.
Somebody gotta show some fight, and his ass ain't fighting. You know what? No, he fighting, but he's fighting against the current.
And it is not gonna work out well for him. They fired a coach the week of homecoming.
Yes, sir.
We surely did. We absolutely did. That man was getting ready for homecoming on Monday and didn't have a job on Wednesday.
By the way, that's a FAMU Hall of Fame and legend.
Hall of Fame.
Hall of Fame.
Played in the NFL.
And he got, yeah.
That's you say his name, people go, ooh, I remember watching him play. And FAMU said, you won't be coaching him no more.
That was my freshman bro.
Earl Holmes, or we talking about?
Of course we talking about Earl.
Earl.
Listen, I'm gonna say this. Y'all know Cozy is a no. Y'all know my mouth. I have bare eyebrow on this next game. I swear on everything. If I'm missing the eyebrow at homecoming this year, I'm gonna have to turn the guns. I'm gonna have to start.
You bet it on the Central game?
Yes.
For me, right? I think for me, I can't fathom being that stubborn,
and that's hard,
right? And it's like, and when I look at coaches, right, you are technically an expert in your field,
supposed to be
an expert in your field. At my job, I'm what they call a SME. I'm a subject matter expert. People call me from other buildings when they're having problems for me to help them fix it. Imagine me being there to be like, yeah, we gonna ride with this today. I know it's failing, but hey.
That, my friend, is how you lose a locker room. Yep. So whatever is wrong in that locker room, trust me, it's coming out right now.
But you can see it. You can see it on the field.
Yes,
we saw it in week one, but we were like, oh, they're just nervous.
Oh, we saw it. Saw it at the first home game.
Yeah.
When we saw it at the first home game, I expected that FAU game to go just the way it went. Mm-hmm. I had no expectations for that game. Mm-hmm. Hey, if we put up a couple touchdowns and nobody gets hurt, it's a win. So I had
the first home game was the Albany State game, right?
Yeah. Albany State.
That was the first game.
We saw the product that he put out there against, I'm not going to say inferior talent, but we have better talent than Albany State.
Mm-hmm.
We said it on this podcast. Talent ain't our problem. It's coaching.
And that's my...
You can have a locker room full of Hall of Famer, first team, five-star blue chips. And if you don't know what you're doing, they're going to play like a team middle school.
And if you... In the post-game presser, he said, oh, we were always going to put Jet in the third series. That's what he told us. He's like, I don't care what the score was, where we was looking. He was always coming in the game. And then you play a better team and you see your offense is stagnant and you don't make no move. Like you ain't got no plan.
I think he thought he had turned the corner and he could get away with it. I also think that maybe
that boy cannot read defenses. If he couldn't read,
we understand that.
He can't read defense in week three. If he's staring down receivers in week one, guess what he's gonna do in week three? He's gonna stare the receiver down again.
I saw that too, where he was staring. He was staring down. What's the kid's name?
I sat in Brad right after I talked to y'all. At the Old Benny State game, I sat in Bragg and watched him. All right, I'll throw it now. Damn, defender here.
He threw for 270 yards against Old Benny State, and most of it in the second half. You know, 63% completion. You know what, Coach A? Why he played the whole game? Why didn't you, even if Jet wasn't available, which he was on the sideline dressed out, as well as Jefferson, why didn't play? Because RJ had played so poorly, he needed that garbage touchdown in the late in the fourth quarter to get his stacks to ugly decent.
And that's considering that the receiver we were missing what one key receiver to open the state game or two?
Two.
We were missing two key receivers that game. Goldie dropped the wide open touchdown twice.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He dropped one from Jay and one from RJ. Yeah.
Right.
He just didn't want the other one to feel, you know, like he was showing favoritism.
Yeah. I'm gonna drop both of them. I'm gonna drop both.
That was another game that had some real implications.
I don't want us to sit here and bash, feel like we're bashing players. The problem is that you only have one loss in the SWAC East. You still have the ability to compete. But if you keep doing things that are not successful, you are dooming your season.
Yeah.
So
he does have the opportunity. If he put RJ over there next to him and played who we are seeing is the better quarterback, the team responds better. Let me say it this way. It ain't me. It's not because Jed is white, because we've had white quarterbacks before and we love them. Mm-hmm. We had a love-hate relationship. One of them don't start Marlo, but we didn't care. So it can't be because you don't think the fan base is going to be receptive, because that ain't it. Don't put that on us. That's not who we are.
No.
That's you.
You have to coach your team up for success. I don't think that, like, our play calling has been suspect at best, even for RJ's talent.
Yeah.
Like, if he has some mobility, move him outside the pocket and let him look down the field. He throws well on the run. At least that's what he was doing in the Albany game. That's when he made some of his bigger plays. But, like, you have talent, and your receivers, they're running routes, and it's almost like they're running dummy routes.
Right.
Yep.
They just out there running around. You're not getting them the ball. It's crazy to me. You gotta coach your team and put them in the best successful scenario that they possibly can be in. And then you don't just go 3-and-out and put your defense back on the field. And now they out there with their tongues hanging because they've been out there all game.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't go for it on 4th-and-3 when the team just drove the ball down 80 yards on their first drive, converted every third down. You punt that ball, you try to pin them deep and make them do it again. But you don't give them a short field. First quarter, second drive, that's desperation.
We hate because even our special team scheming fucking sucks.
Woo, you know what? I'm not going to get Kelvin started. I'm going to go ahead and move us on.
Not had proper special teams coaches since Chili Davis.
You trying? Nope. I'm going to move us on. So, look.
I didn't stop me when I'm lying, Troy.
I'm going to move us on.
Hey, can I say something, Troy?
No, I'm a damn problem.
It is hate week for those who know me.
Oh, Lord. Follow me on Twitter.
I've been a bit profane, but it is Miami Hate Week. I don't wish them nothing good in life for this entire week. I hope every day they get up and turn on their car, their tire sensor is going off, and it ain't nothing wrong with their tire. I don't want
you hold on, time out. You said just for this week, you hate them all day, every day, 24/7, 365. And if it's a leak year, 366, and if I'm a dope dealer, 25/8, man, come on now. Don't tell me that you just for this week, just say you hate them all day, every day. You call them the dumbest bird in the state of Florida.
That's what they is. That's what they is.
You called them, you had to let you calling them the Coral Gables HOA.
Because they don't have a stadium. We talk about so bad. But Miami,
I know another school that don't have a stadium, but we gonna leave them alone. They actually won this week.
Don't be trying to put the onus on back on me. We talk about you and your hate for Miami.
Everybody know
how I feel about that school.
Everybody know how I feel about Jerry Jones.
Nice to us. They nice and respectful to us. Miami, I remember when that dude that had that that box Chevy with that ibis on the front of his with that burnt orange box Chevy, and they put his car on blocks. That, you know what? That might have been the happiest hate week I've had my entire life. Just walking by and seeing that car on blocks.
Hey, that was outside YN's right there.
They stole his rims. Oh my God,
Troy! When was the last time you've been to a Miami, a Florida State game?
Oh, it's been a while. I want to say probably 2008. Between 2008 and like 2008 and 2001, I think 2008 was the last one. But it wasn't $12 million that it is now. Go ahead and mortgage your home if you want to go to this game. Because we reduced stadium size and raised tickets to get every ounce of money we could out of athletics. Shout out to Blueprint for giving us money that we didn't deserve because we got that money in the losing season. Meanwhile, fam, you won a national championship and couldn't get $5.
I was just about to say that. And then they tried to say they got the proposal in too late, so they submitted it again for them to say, nah, the fuck? No, you know what? No, they said, the blueprint isn't really designed for that. We pay into it.
Yeah.
We pay into it. When all them nice people come to Tallahassee for homecoming and everything else, we pay into blueprint. What are you talking about?
You know what? I'm going to say this, and I don't care who don't like it. For a very long time, FAMU was a bigger draw than Florida State because FAMU was winning long before Florida State ever sniffed wins. So this is why I always say local politics matters, because this is all local politics.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
There is a way where you can help Florida State and FAMU at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It irritates me as a Knoll when I see Florida State get stuff they don't deserve, like Tallahassee Memorial Hospital.
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
Is not
that is all by design, because Florida State wants to be the state flagship so bad and they will never get it.
I've said this on this podcast. The fact that the University of Florida has boot skin health that they got from Shands. Florida State, from that moment, wanted a hospital, wanted a medical school, and they greased the right political wheels to get it. Look where the presidents come from. They don't come from academics. They come from state house.
Until now. You're right.
Well,
until now.
Yeah, you're right.
After Dahlenberg left, they came from the state house.
Mm-hmm.
Local politics matter. It's.
I think until we figure out a way to finance our own.
Come on now.
We're going to keep getting what we've been getting.
Oh, well.
It is going to take the community of alumni, the community that's in that area to be vested. Like, we send stars out from the university every year. Like, they may not be a star when they leave, but they develop we develop talent over there on the hill. So we just need to figure out a way to harness. Like, I remember back in the day, the SBI business school brought in so much money into that university. It was crazy. Humphreys, research money. He went and got all of that. Like, we just need to harness that same mentality now in this day and age. And I think we'll be fine. I think.
To your point, though, Marlo, the leadership at SBI sat on every board possible of Fortune 500 companies. Humphreys had not only political clout with the then Board of Regents and the chancellor, but he had national.
Yeah.
I mean, people were calling him. People knew who he was. They knew who Dean Mobley was.
Yeah.
Those were giants.
Yeah.
They worked relentlessly, always on the behalf of the university, not themselves.
Absolutely.
We've got to get leadership with that mindset.
Yeah.
And with a board of trustees system and the political system we have really struggled with that, which is why we have so much high turnover.
But that's because as we're talking about elections, that's also because at a governor's level, the last governor we had,
Charlie Crist,
that kind of that did treat us the same way they treated everybody else, Charlie Crist. And then everything post that has been a dumpster fire. We had that slim chance of getting Andrew, and we saw how that turned out. So it's like all the elections at every single level have a consequence. It's not going to do us any good if we have friends of the university on Tallahassee City and County Commission, and we got another dumpster fire over there in Frenchtown.
I'm going to say this in because of who I know and everything, I'm going to say this. The people who we have on the Board of Trustees need to have the same political ceiling as the Board of Trustees at the University of Florida, as the Board of Trustees at Florida State, as the Board of Trustees at UCF and USF. When our Board of Trustees leave the board and their time runs out, their political career, wherever it is, should be a blank check. Whatever they want to do should be taken care of so that they know that there is a pathway out here that is positive. Because if you have an ally politically, you have somebody that can bring resources back to family.
You know, Troy, as we talk about the board, I'm pretty sure Kevin remember this. There were years where our board chair was a damn correctional officer.
Are you serious?
I swear to God, and I can't think of his name. What was his name, Kevin?
Trying to think which one you're talking about.
He was on the board. He might have been board chair right before Montgomery. He was a corrections officer.
And that's...
So now we're talking about politics and the people who our governors have picked because that's how little they think of the school. And that, again, this is not me speaking down on corrections officer, somebody has to do it. Mm-hmm. But what type of relationships do you have when 12 hours of your day you locked in the pod with people who couldn't act right when they were free with anybody else? What elbows are you rubbing against to get us any type of favor in any room?
You know, to think about it, I don't even remember a board having too much influence, like at all, when Humphreys was president.
Because they're really not supposed to. The hands-onness that we have experienced started with Mangum. No. Started with he's over there at Southern now.
Ammons.
James, it started with James. Ammons. Yeah, it started with Ammons. So the amount of I go back even further. Gainers. Gainers. It started with Gainers. So the amount of insanity. Remember, I'm 34, and now I remember the circus around when Gainers was president. So that we still got chaos from three presidents ago that we're looking at now. The hands-onness that they've had, you can't do this. They are in a nutshell supposed to be hands-on. Hey, this is the person we hired. You go do the job. We don't step in until we are seeing your actions are detrimental to the university, or you're failing your fiduciary responsibilities to the university. All right, cool. Now we have to step in and say, okay, you moving file. This isn't it. Mm-hmm. But what they do it's a reason why Sachs is looking crazy right now.
Well, also, Marlo, the reason you don't remember that is because we had a board of regents system back when he was there. So each university didn't have its own board that was appointed politically. You had a overall board for all the SUS system, and you had a chancellor of that system. And you're right, Dr. Humphreys challenged Charlie Reed directly. Yeah. And pointed his finger in his face at a regents meeting, saying, "You would not disrespect my university." So that's the reason, and that's actually the reason Dr. Humphreys retired too. When they went to that board of trustees system, he said, "All right, time for me to go," because he understood where it was going.
Yep,
understand that board of trustees system ran Bobby Bowden out of town. It wasn't athletics. It was the board of trustees. And after they did, they cleaned it up. I think 2 years later, they cleaned up that board and got the board in line.
Because that's because you had a governor that politically that aligned with that university to say, yeah, that's kind of foul, right? You can't tell me that as we talk about the stars that we have created in this university, you can't tell me that none of them have not applied to be on the board of trustees. I had a video of Rainforest Films. I'm being bad with names today. Will Packard applied. They never even pulled applications.
You know what? The money that Will gives to the university, I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say this about our tracks. The purse strings determines what happens. It should be the same way at FAMU. The people who have the purse strings, if they need to exhort their will financially on what happens with the university.
Hey, let y'all know, we don't support the university anyway, even though we donate more money than the people across the tracks.
My drum.
Don't get me started. don't get me started on that.
I'm gonna go ahead and transition us again. So the Clippers had media day, and as our old buddy Theo used to say, "Quiet Leonard." Decided to answer questions about his no-show contract. This was a terrible idea.
Come on, his salary cap circumvention money.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Please, for the love of God, talk to your attorneys. Stop talking. Wow. Let's say I was blind, deaf, and dumb and didn't think you did anything wrong. I know you did something wrong now. I know you did something wrong now.
See, what these guys don't understand is they should never be discussing their contract or monies that they're getting from said monies with the media.
You're right.
There's nothing good that can come of that.
Right.
Actually, they're making themselves targets by talking about your money.
And he paying them out of his own pocket, though, for real, too. Almost, it's almost like he is paying out his own pocket. Because he is.
Well, like, I wish I would be in an interview and somebody asked me about my contract.
I don't know what you talking about. What contract? I play for free.
Ain't none of your goddamn business what's in my contract.
And again, shout out to Pablo Torres for being one of the last few sports journalists in the world that literally went down all the rabbit holes, got all his sources, and every time they told a lie, he hit them with more paperwork. The NBA has an independent company investigating this entire matter. Somebody would need to come up with a commercial that Kawhi did for these people, because if there isn't an aspiration commercial, tweet, a Instagram post, it's gonna get ugly.
I mean, ain't they been? They been in the news. I mean, that the last time the Clippers was in the news because of Donald Sterling, and we all know what happened with that fiasco right there. Y'all forced that man to sell his team, and it's not like you trying to punish him, because guess what? The man paid, Steve Ballmer paid what, he paid over what the max amount of what the team was actually worth at the time.
Yeah.
So guess what? Donald Sterling actually won because he got $2.1 billion.
He got $2 billion more than what the team was worth.
What the team was worth. He actually won on that. You stay quiet. Look, you stay quiet.
Hey, that bothered me. I would have took like 10 years worth of draft picks and said,
that was the thing. It was, you did not punish.
You didn't.
You didn't even punish Donald Sterling. Like, you told him he's bad for life. He can't buy another NBA franchise. He can't start up another NBA franchise. So that's punishment on him. But guess what? He still got $2.1 billion.
He's not even going to live long enough to spend all that money.
Right. Because I'm saying, if it was David Stern would have had the gangster move and say, fuck all that. We taking a draft pick from you every year for the next 10 years.
Yes, he would have took 10 years worth of draft picks. He would have told them they couldn't say, he would have fucked with their salary cap. He would have made it hurt for real.
David Stern was terrible for the NBA.
But he was a gangster for the NBA.
The grip people they got now ain't no damn better.
Yeah, Adam Silver is the one that's messing it up, because it was on Adam Silver's watch that you tell Donald Sterling, sell the team. You are banned from ever being an owner in the NBA. But guess what? Donald Sterling won, because why? He got more money than what the team was worth anyway when he first bought it.
Hold on. Let's get Kelvin in. What you was about to say, Kelvin?
Well, with Marlo's comment about David Stern, well, it depends what you qualify as bad, because he made the NBA profitable.
He made it profitable at the same time. he turned the players against the league, he was not a player's commissioner.
He was not.
But I've said it on this show before. David Stern is directly responsible for the play, the quality of basketball that we are experiencing in the NBA right now.
Absolutely, it is
not good. But all of these things are direct causes of policies that he put into effect in the 90s and the 2000s. We're watching it play out in horrible basketball right now, 2025.
Yeah, franchise,
I was just gonna say taking all the other stuff like that, where you got a defensive team like the Detroit Pistons, they can't play bully ball no more. They're gonna have you telling them they had to adapt to the times. What if they don't want to adapt to the times? You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, it's not even about bully ball. Like, look at the type of players that we used to see, and look at the type of players we have now. Y'all not gonna pay attention to it, but remember the dress code he put into place that everybody agreed was stupid and racist. That dude put the NBA on a collision course to be FIBA 2.0, and we gotta watch it now. Everybody want a Euro step and shoot three.
Well, I think Kevin's gonna say what I'm thinking. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just really thinking about it. The athleticism of today's athletes are at an all-time high.
Mm-hmm.
The scoring is up. A lot of people are entertained by that. I give you that the players are less skilled, all right, than those old-school guys. And, you know, centers are shooting three-pointers. The game has changed.
Nobody wants to see that shit.
Well,
I think it's still
the most profitable league. And what I add to it is the one of the few big leagues that's predominantly black, where the players association actually have influence. I mean, they made a billionaire sell his team.
NFL, I guarantee you,
in the NFL, they won't make a billionaire owner sell his team.
They did.
Who? Yes, they did.
The Washington Redskins.
The Redskins.
Yeah.
Dan Snyder,
they made him change it.
He had to sell the team because the John Gruden stuff shined a light on him. And when the reporters started investigating him, they started to see.
He had all kind of stuff going on with staff and secretaries. And he had to sell that team. But even with the athletes being more athletic now, the brand of basketball has diminished by light years.
Fundamentals, absolutely.
Like, there is no... Everybody think they can shoot a three-pointer.
Mm. Everybody think they can run without dribbling.
The mid-range shot has just been atrociously attacked.
That's the crazy thing. The dudes that be doing analytics are talking about, well, mid-range shots don't give you nothing. I'm like, dude.
Yes, it wins games.
DeMar DeRozan scored 20,000 freaking points shooting a damn mid-range shot in his whole career.
Crossover, dribble, pull up from the free throw line.
Shoot from the free throw line. Shoot from the elbow.
The league MVP last year.
Come on, man. You can't tell me that a mid-range shot
if anybody say analytics and basketball to me in the same sense, I stop listening. You don't know what the hell you talking about. You finna say a bunch of bullshit.
All right, so I'm about to get a feeling.
People keep asking if I'm back, and I haven't really had an answer. But now,
we need to understand something. The NBA, probably a little over 10 years ago, decided that they were going to get pinheads like me to be involved in the NBA. Coaches have gotten fired for the analytics guy. Nobody interviews the analytics guy. Nobody contacts the analytics guy. But the analytics guy is telling the NBA how they should play basketball. The geeks don't need to be involved in the athletic events that happen on day-to-day games.
You see what happened in Houston.
On how players shoot from certain positions, but how the game should be played, the geeks got to get outside.
You see what happened with Houston, with the Rockets. The Rockets had analytic guy, Daryl Morey. Guess where he was at? Guess here you go, Philadelphia. Daryl Morey left. They had not made to the conference finals.
They couldn't slip past the conference finals with James Harden.
I think information.
But that was also some of James Harden's problems.
Yeah, that too.
I think information is great if used properly. Like the coaches that win, they take the information and they translate it into on the court play. A lot of these coaches get information and they be like, well, he can't make 12 in a row. Well, he made 12. He can't make 20 in a row. They,
if I keep like, shooting them, I bet they go in.
Like this brand of basketball is trash.
Here's another thing, too. People say, like, the way FIBA plays, you know, they say they shoot a lot of threes. If you look at FIBA play, they really don't shoot a lot of threes. They shoot a lot of mid-range jumpers. They go to the basket. A
lot of motion.
Right? They a lot of motion. That's what people are looking at. If you're not moving with that, if you don't know how to move without the basketball, unless you, mm-hmm. especially if you're a shooting guard or a small forward, if you don't know how to move without the basketball, where that as soon as you are open, that ball is coming to you, all you gotta do is just slash to the basket. That's it. Keep in motion. That's the reason why you have players like Reggie Miller and Rip Hamilton. People used to hate playing them.
Right all day.
They are on the move. Ray Allen used to be the same way. Ray Allen was
20.
But yeah, when Ray Allen was like 24, but he was on the move. Like Allen Iverson was on the move, and they made a they practiced a move called the Iverson cut. As soon as he moved and he get to that elbow, boom. Or he's driving to the basket. They had moves where, especially if you're a big man. If you're the big man and you on a high post, you're doing a sigma move. That ball is not touching the ground. It is not low to the ground. You're doing a sigma move. You either try to shoot it or you trying to pass it. Come on now. Well, they don't teach that no more.
They don't necessarily teach big man post moves anymore.
No.
Period.
No, absolutely.
Yeah. Period.
Guess where they go to get their big man moves.
It's gonna be some big man moves in Tallahassee. I can tell you that now.
Oh, it's definitely with 2 7-4 centers.
That staff that Coach Ward has put together, I know that staff well. I know what they're gonna do. And for the duration of that staff being together, look for you to have 2 3 6'11" 7-footers. Every year,
mm-hmm. I think
and defend it. It's gonna be styles of play that we saw last year in Tallahassee that's gonna struggle.
If you think about this, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You had dudes that was over 7'1", 7'2", 7'3", 7'4", 7'5", 7'6". You had a Yao Ming, boy, had a back to a basket. He could face you to the basket. He had footwork for his size right there. He'll pull up for his size to be 7'6". He's pulling up for a freaking mid-range jumper, or he's taking you to the cup with ease. It's the same thing for Sean Bradley. Sean Bradley can be light in the ass. You know what I'm saying? A Philadelphia Dallas Maverick Sean Bradley, I'm taking everything because he put his back to the basket. Because he was fast enough. He ran like a deer on fast breaks. He's getting to the basket ahead of everybody because it ain't gonna take him number 4 steps just to get to the damn from one end of the floor to the other with him. And then as soon as he cuts to the basket, the ball is in his hand and he's going for a dunk. The ball, or he's going into the block. Nobody's not blocking that shot right there. He got his back to the basket. Nobody's not. And he's gonna bang with you. I mean, we all see, like we said, we all see where he used to get dunked on all the time, but what big man has not got dunked on?
Well, he used to challenge everything, though. So,
when you're actually playing defense, you're going to get dunked on.
Right. You're going to get dunked on.
Right.
Like who the heck that, you know, they always go to the T-Mac when T-Mac dunked on Sean Bradley. Okay, yes, that was, ooh, wow. Like, he rode this nigga like a horse. But at the same time, how many block shots he had in that game? He had like 5 block shots in that game.
You got a challenge.
Was wild while we talking about basketball when your high school history teacher got dunked on by Jordan, but he a FAMU legend. That's a good one. That is a good one. Clemmer Johnson was my ninth grade history teacher.
Mike put a lot of people on a poster, but it's wild because
Clemmer Johnson was what, 16?
Yeah,
he was like 16. Mike was 6'6". Mike went at it.
My cousin is Ryan Higgins, used to play for the Warriors, and you know, I think he's director of basketball operations with the Wizards or something like that right now. But he said he used to hate guarding Jordan. He used to hate guarding that dude every time. I know my cousin's like 6'7", but Mike was be on the move. Mike would move without the basketball. So that's from fundamentals that we don't see in the game today. Like, no, there's no move. There's no movement. It's all isolation.
And another college coach said that.
We're not going to talk about that, man. We're not talking about that.
Not about that one. It's actually Coach Pressure. I want to say she was on your show, Kevin, and she was saying how now kids, you have talented kids, and if their parents can afford to get them a trainer, they get them a trainer, but the trainer only goes over ball stuff. So you got kids that don't know how to set ball screens. They don't understand spacing. They can't move without the ball because from 12 to 18, everything they've ever did was with a ball in their hand. So now you get them in college and you trying to
do a run this
motion offense or get them to move around, and they just don't know how to do it because they've never had to.
What's the best thing for a big man in the guard? The pick and roll. Why? Because all the big man got to do as soon as he set that pick, roll to the basket.
Roll to the hoop. That's it.
Hey, roll to the hoop. That's it. Or even for the guard, pick, roll. If you don't see the pick, the guard is gonna shoot. He can go.
The shot is right there because your one defender gonna roll with the big man, and the other one gonna get stuck trying to come over the top of the screen.
Yeah, that's what mid range shot.
And what's another thing that we miss that you missing when you got guards splitting the pick and roll?
Yep.
When you got them splitting the pick, and we all know, you know, we all old enough, we know who the best one to do that in the NBA was Mark Price.
All right, man. I know we don't normally do this on the show, but it's some stuff that happened in the WNBA that we got to talk about.
The disrespect segment. Uh-oh. Here we go.
So she interviews today. She had some exit interviews today.
Who?
No.
Fee. If Fee call you.
I don't know if y'all heard it. Let me start off by saying this.
Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a bitch?
Damn. On a computer today. She aired out the entire discussions they had around the WNBA. There was one statement that she said that Kathy told them that if the young players aren't happy with their contract, the complaints that they have are loser complaints. That because of the media rights deal she got, they should be happy that they're in the WNBA.
That media rights deal is undervalued by at least $15 million, but go off, Kathy.
Fee, let it be known that when they were putting together Unrivaled, her and her husband went to the league and said, hey, this is what we're talking about doing. Do you want to be partners? Fee definitely put it on the show.
Because
apparently nobody cares about the WNBA commissioner. And Jamal, I know you follow this more than me, especially with this. You know what? Matter of fact, I'm going to go ahead and give you the floor because I know you've been wanting to get this off your chest for a while.
I'm going to take a page out of your book. When the lead commissioner come from Deloitte, you should already be prepared to be scammed and disappointed. That's first thing. I think Kathy was the senior vice president of expansion or something of that nature at Deloitte. Now, another thing, if you ever feel bored, go download the WNBA app, and when it opens, I want you to look at the bottom of that app and tell me who built the app. Keyword is Deloitte. But when your president comes from a company that has some very questionable business practices, you shouldn't be surprised when you have questionable business practices or you have an attitude around, you should be grateful. She cut her teeth in business as a consultant. And consulting is a cutthroat world, but she has not let go of that mentality, which is why they're having those issues. Anytime you tell, one of the most popular players in your league, because I can't say Fee is the face of the league because she's not, and I'm not being funny when I say that you should be happy. Or only losers. Hey, only losers complain about referees. And me as a fan, I've been complaining about referees all season. I've heard coaches and players complain about referees, whether they win or they lose. I've also watched referees stare at blatant fouls, travels, lane violations, illegal screens, and swallow their whistle. I'm not the biggest Cheryl Reeves fan, but when she went after the ref the other night during that Phoenix game, even though that was a clean steal, they deserved it because they had already missed 4 or 5 fouls on Fee and Courtney Williams prior to that happening. I have always been a fuck Kathy stan because she don't know what she's doing. I also think she's allowing Crypt Keeper, a.k.a. Adam Silver, to pull out of the WNBA pot, which is why they can't pay them more, is because they don't have it. And she doesn't want to say, hey, we don't have it, because that's going to lead to way more questions. I've said it on this show before. The NBA is breaking antitrust laws when it comes to WNBA and how it operates. One day, I'm gonna write the article. I swear to God, I am. You can't still hang your hat on sustainability in year 25. You're 30. When somebody gave you an opportunity for sustainability and you turned it down. The same sponsors, the same partnerships that Unrivaled is getting, the WNBA could have gotten years ago. She has not been pursuing. She got to be fired. The problem is I don't know where they go next. But I do know that Kathy ain't it. And I'm honestly not crashing out because I knew this was going to happen. I also said on this show that they were going to lock out, and they are going to lock out over this issue. You took Unrivaled broke even in their first season while giving the first 30 players equity in the league and paying all of them over $100,000. They broke even. They just signed the deal with Xfinity of all people. They added 2 new teams. They have already expanded a roster, the roster sizes, when Kathy extended the season by 40%, didn't extend the roster. Injuries have piled up, and the quality of ball has went down because you also have incompetent referees calling games. The use of 7-day and short-term contracts has went up by about 80% since they have extended the season and not giving them additional roster spaces. They have also considered giving teams back to ownerships that fumbled teams the first time. What sense does that make? They blocking the sale of the Connecticut Sun to go to Boston, to a leadership group that absolutely wants them because they want NBA ownership. Tell me how you say that out loud and go, why would the WNBA want NBA ownership if the NBA ain't pulling out of the WNBA's coffers? I ain't the smartest man in the world, but I know only ducks quack.
I'm gonna tell you this. Because you brought up Deloitte, and you know how I feel about good software development. For those people who don't really understand Deloitte, just understand that NIL Go, which was the clearinghouse for all NIL third-party contracts, on launch did not work.
Nope.
And you know why they did not work? This is beautiful for Hate Week. They used the University of Miami as their dummy account. I hope they fail at everything, and that's what they get. But again, shout out to Deloitte. I get money. Because that's all they know. That is all they know, and that's all they're trying to do is get is money. But again, I could just be being petty. I could just be being petty, but I'm not. It just two things can be true at the same time. But that whole Deloitte thing, I'm not gonna get into it tonight. But
nah, that's for sure all on this all.
Yeah.
Who fires the commissioner in the WNBA though? You don't think the NBA got it for a reason?
When I say they're breaking antitrust laws because they are two separate companies, the NBA should have nothing to do with who is the WNBA commissioner. So if the WNBA ownership decide, hey, we don't want this lady no more, and Adam Silver say, well, you ain't got no choice. What you got? What? And I'm going to tell you how I put two and two together when De'Erica Hamby sued the Las Vegas Aces over gender discrimination, and it came out in the lawsuit that the WNBA headquarters office and the NBA headquarters office got the exact same address. Why?
Yeah, you already know they need more teams in the WNBA.
They're getting them, but it's how you picking.
Yeah, it's how you picking and choosing where they're going.
You got a group in Boston again. When the Connecticut Sun played two games in Boston, they sold out the arena. I've been on this show saying that Chicago, damn near LA, but they building a facility now, and Connecticut did not need teams. They was worse than Florida State. They running pro teams. They ain't even got a EBT card. They got a Florida disaster relief card over there trying to run teams. They don't know what that, but one time during hurricane season, that's if you get hit, in case you don't know. EBT card. You didn't even take a proposal for the biggest sale in league history to the owners board because you didn't want them to own the team.
Well, absolutely. Like, listen, I'm gonna move on from this week. We're gonna try and handicap this Aces game. Again, this should not be a game five. Tom Brady is the reason that this is a game five. He needs to be out of Vegas, point blank, period. He don't need to have ownership in nothing involving any Vegas franchise. I'm just saying.
Well, we know he's shady, right?
He need to just go on the Patriots and be done.
Well, you know he bends the rules. We all know this.
Yep.
That's why it's always fuck Tom Brady.
You gotta let that
go. Can I say something before we roll up out of here?
What was that?
First and foremost, shout out to my Jack State Tigers, you know. Beating up on Southern for seven times in a row in 4 years, right? Shout out to that receiver for Southern, Darren Morris, and said he was not impressed in his interview. But are you impressed now? Are you impressed now, sir? Because I'm still not impressed by your stats. You got nine.
Have we entertained you yet?
Are you entertained now? Your stats read as 9 catches, 156 yards. And 1 touchdown still. I am not impressed.
Stop it! Stop it! Don't shoot that little motherfucker no more!
I am not impressed. And for those folks who said that the Boombox Battle of the Bands was a sweep by Southern, y'all smoking major crack. Now, on to my Cowboys. Even if we play Michael Parsons.
This ain't the Thursday. We got a whole Thursday night show. You got plenty of time to get that
on. If you play Michael Parsons, the game still was not going to be the same. I just have to say.
I'm just trying to stop you before you dig that man mama up.
No, I ain't gonna do him up now. I'm just saying, playing to a tie is like kissing your second cousin, some shit like that.
We was almost out of here. We was almost out of here.
We out here now, man. Oh, I'm just saying. I'm gonna crash out on Thursday.
Kelvin, sir, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Wednesday nights, 8 to 10, sometimes 11 p.m. on the ONG Strike Zone, part of the Black College Sports Network. And you can find us on anywhere you get your podcast, as well as all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, X, you name it. ONG Strike Zone, Wednesdays, 8 to 10. And we cover everything FAMU.
Listen, it has been fun. I want to update everybody real quick. So right now, because Troy is, I'm speaking myself in third person because I'm mad with Troy. Troy has expanded what we do with our podcast. So we're doing a lot of videos on all of your podcast networks. And I have made GoDaddy quite angry by doing that. So they have forced me to upgrade. In the upgrade process, apparently I have to wait 24 hours for everything to migrate. So I started last night at 2 a.m. Hopefully by 2 a.m. tonight, we'll be all set. As soon as we are, I will send out the tweet saying that we're all up. But normally you would catch everything at watch.fatmousesports.net or all of your podcast networks. We are in video on everywhere except for the YouTube podcast network. They won't allow us to do video on their podcast network, but everywhere else we're doing video. So I think video for us is the way to go because we're kind of dynamic and you can't get all the nuances of our absolute zaniness, I'm gonna say it like that, in just without the visual. So we are expanding our network. For myself, Kelvin at ONG, Strike Zone, Dot Holiday at HBCU Overdrive, Marlo, Lord Jamal. We are out. Everybody have a blessed weekend. Hopefully, you have a better weekend than I had this weekend.
Jaguars got number one defense in the league.
Do you understand? She sent me a disrespectful text message early in the morning. Just disrespect. And because my team ain't win, I couldn't really say much.
Yeah.
So all I could tell her was leave me alone by her rag.
Leave me alone. You probably sound like that said it.
Anyway. So
I came out about a winner this weekend. I came out a winner this weekend, you know.
Yeah.
How about the Cowboys?
They
tried to give me a heart attack on Sunday.
Yeah. My guys was gonna pull it off. I really did. I was like, okay.
They tried to give me a heart attack on Sunday, man. I was like, you know what?
You know what? I'm getting mad already because the beginning of the game, this fool threw a Keystone Cops interception.